Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A quiz of ice and fire. Hello there, listeners. It's time for another quiz of ice and fire. I'm your host, Lady Guinevere.
And I'm also your host. I'm Yoke Boy. We are Radio Westeros. Usually we do detailed analysis of A Song of Ice and Fire, but the kindness of our patrons has unlocked this bonus quiz feature.
And by bonus, we mean there is no charge for patrons. This is a freebie bonus quiz just for some fun. And we do pick and choose questions that might remind you about book details, both important and trivial, that you might have missed or forgotten.
Ryan, if you're keeping score, it might be a good idea to get a pen and paper handy now. There are 17 questions. We do love it when you guys shout out your scores to us across social media. And today's topic is food.
Tasty food, described in unparalleled detail, is a staple of George's writing in A Song of Ice and Fire. Our mouths are watering just thinking of those feasts and festivities. Food for gorging, food you wouldn't serve your dog, even food for plot points. Sirs and ladies, we have it all here today. So show us your plates and let us serve you a delicious helping of A Quiz of Ice and Fire, the food edition.
Okay, so question one. During the reopening of Dasnak's Pit in A Dance with Dragons, Strong Balwas gorges himself on a whole bowl of what? And this seems to make him very ill, leading to the assumption that someone had tried to assassinate Dany. So what is the food stuff we're talking about? It's two words, one for the flavouring and one for the food stuff, and let's call it half a point for each.
Okay, so two-word phrase to describe the food Strong Balwas ate at Dasnak's Pit. All right, and question two. The Dothraki like to, quote, drink themselves blind on a curious alcoholic drink, one that's mentioned throughout their chapters in A Game of Thrones, that Viserys dislikes and Dany can't stand the smell of. Name the three words we're thinking of for this Dothraki drink.
Yeah, and this sounds really delicious. The Dothraki sure know how to let their long braids down. And so that was question two. Now on to question three. In A Game of Thrones, reflecting on the events of the Trident with Joffrey and Micah, Sansa and Arya argue, and the younger sibling throws something right at Sansa, hitting her forehead and ruining her dress. Our question is, what item and type of food was Arya throwing there?
Okay, food fight at the table between Arya and Sansa, and we can be pretty sure Septa Mordain was not amused. Now, question four. Davos Seaworth, called the Onion Knight, is known for smuggling a literal boatload of onions into Storm's End during the siege in Robert's Rebellion. However, onions were not the only foodstuff he smuggled in, so name the other less-mentioned food that Davos smuggled into Stannis, and there's two words we're looking for.
Yes, perhaps Davos was trying to complement the onion dishes there. So that's it, what food did Davos smuggle in with the onions? And on to question five. During her time at Harrenhal, Arya Stark is involved in a plot featuring a large vat of boiling soup, masterminded by Jaqen H'ghar. Later, the soup is given a nickname by Shagwell. So what is this name given to the soup?
Okay, Arya involved in secret plotting at Harrenhal and a certain kind of soup. Now on to question 6. Where Dany lives in the Great Pyramid in Meereen, there is a tree with edible fruit beside a pool, which sounds rather idyllic. On one occasion, she sees Quaithe under the tree, and later looks back and Quaithe is gone. The tree has fruit of the same name. What is this tree and its fruit?
Yeah, what is this notable tree and fruit involved in Dany's story there in A Dance with Dragons? Moving on to question 7. What food, often baked in pies, is the name of a jailer on Dragonstone and is also a disparaging nickname given to Lord Wyman Manderly on account of his appetite?
Okay, so one word actually doing triple duty as a nickname, as an actual name, and as the name of a food. Now, question 8. Arya and Gendry encounter an inn that is also a brothel. One of the girls there is called Bella, and we discover that during the rebellion, Robert had hid there during the Battle of the Bells. This inn has a rather edible name, so name it.
Yes, the edible name of a certain brothel stroke inn. And on to question 9. Which major feast in the book has food described like this? The feast began with the thin leek soup, followed by a salad of green beans, onions and beets, river pike poached in almond milk, mounds of mashed turnips that were cold before they reached the table, jellied calf's brains, and a leche of stringy beef. It was poor fare.
Wow, you're not kidding. So what we're looking for is the name of the feast that food was served at. And now on to question 10. In A Dance with Dragons, Aegon claims to have been swapped as a baby with another boy from Pisswater Bend. The boy's father was allegedly paid with what to sell out his young son? And for a clue, it's a type of wine.
Yes, we're looking for this wine, and we want specifically the type of wine. And so on to question 11. Joffrey's wedding to Margaery was magnificent before the Strangler claimed the king as a victim. So our question is, how many courses were involved in that wedding?
Okay, so the number of courses at Joffrey's wedding to Margaery. And now on to question 12. Sansa Stark is known for loving one food. What is it?
Yes, I think a lot of Sansa Stark fanatics should be able to get this one. What food is Sansa Stark best known for loving? And on to question 13. In the pot shops of Fleabottom in King's Landing, what's the name commonly given to a helping of a cheap stew containing questionable meat?
Okay, so the actual name that's given to this stew in the pot shops. Now on to question 14. What two foodstuffs are traditionally used in the invoking of Guestright, which is so central to the plot of the books?
Yes, Guestright, particularly important to Northerners. We're looking for the two foodstuffs used to invoke this rite. And now on to question 15. Here's a quote from a meal from somewhere in the Seven Kingdoms. Listen to this description and name the region where the meal derives from. The kid had been roasted with lemon and honey. With it were grape leaves stuffed with a melange of raisins, onions, mushrooms, and fiery dragon peppers.
Okay, and by kid, we mean young goat, not young child, and that is finished with lemon and honey and with a side of stuffed grape leaves. What region would you find that meal in? On to question 16. Singer's Stew is the name Tyrion gives to a stew, insinuating that Bronn has killed a certain singer who is now being sold in an act of unknowing cannibalism in the potshops of Flea Bottom. What is the name of the singer in Tyrion and Bronn's Singer's Stew?
Yes, and he is known for his Hands of Gold song, if you remember that. So what was the name of this singer that ended up in someone's stew? Okay, and on to the final question, number 17. The following passage is from another significant event in the story. Name the event containing this serving. The guests gorged on codcakes and winter squash, hills of neeps and great round wheels of cheese, on smoking slabs of mutton and beef ribs, charred almost black. And lastly, on three great wedding pies, as wide across as wagon wheels, their flaky crusts stuffed to bursting with carrots, onions, turnips, parsnips, mushrooms and chunks of seasoned pork swimming in a savoury brown gravy. Okay, so there's the questions, all 17. We'll be right back in a moment with the answers for you after this.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Okay, so we're back now with the answers to the food questions, and we'll start in with question one, which you remember involved the reopening of Daznak's pit in A Dance with Dragons. Strong Belwas gorged himself on a whole bowl of something that seemed to make him very ill. What was the flavoring and what was the foodstuff? We asked for both words, half a point for each. The answer was honeyed locusts.
Yes, it was those honeyed locusts. And here's a quote from the books. Hisdar had stocked their box with flagons of chilled wine and sweet water, with figs, dates, melons and pomegranates, with pecans and peppers, and a big bowl of honeyed locusts. Strong Belwas bellowed, "Locusts!" as he seized the bowl and began to crunch them by the handful. "Those are very tasty," advised Hisdar. "You ought to try a few yourself, my love. They are rolled in spice before the honey, so they are sweet and hot at once." So there you go with Hisdar, Strong Belwas, and the honeyed locusts. And on to question two. This was the one about the Dothraki, who drink themselves blind on a rather curious alcoholic drink. We asked you what that was, and the answer is fermented mare's milk.
Yeah, that's right. That delicious sounding drink, fermented mare's milk. Here's a passage with Jorah and Dany from A Game of Thrones. "You belong to the Dothraki now. In your womb rides the stallion who mounts the world. He held out his cup, and a slave filled it with fermented mare's milk, sour-smelling and thick with clots." Dany waved her away. Even the smell of it made her feel ill, and she could take no chances of bringing up the horse heart that she had forced herself to eat. Okay, so poor Dany, first a horse heart, and then sour and clotted fermented mare's milk. Oh my. Anyways, on to question three. which had to do with Sansa and Arya arguing over the events on the Trident with Joffrey and Micah. They had a food fight of sorts in which Arya threw something at Sansa. We were looking for what type of food it was that was thrown, and the answer was blood orange.
Yeah, it's the blood orange, and the nasty juice is a dress-staining nightmare, as Sansa learns. Here's the passage. "It's not the same," Sansa said. "The Hound is Joffrey's sworn shield. Your butcher's boy attacked the prince." "Liar," Arya said. Her hand clenched the blood orange so hard that red juice oozed between her fingers. "Go ahead, call me all the names you want," Sansa said airily. "You won't dare when I'm married to Joffrey. You'll have to bow to me and call me Your Grace." She shrieked as Arya flung the orange across the table. It caught her in the middle of the forehead with a wet squish and plopped down into her lap. "You have juice on your face, Your Grace," Arya said. It was running down her nose and stinging her eyes. Sansa wiped it away with a napkin. When she saw what the fruit in her lap had done to her beautiful ivory silk dress, she shrieked again. So, Arya and Sansa, the best of friends as ever there. And so, on to question 4, which was about Davos. He's called the Onion Knight. He smuggled that boatload of onions to Stannis. But there was other food as well that's lesser known that he smuggled with it. And we asked you what that was. And the answer is salt or salted fish.
Yes, salt fish. Here is a passage from Clash of Kings. "Davos the smuggler had dared the red wine cordon and the rocks of Shipbreaker Bay alike. His little ship had black hull, black sails, black oars, and a hold crammed with onions and salt fish. Little enough, yet it had kept the garrison alive long enough for Eddard Stark to reach Storm's End and break the siege." So there you go, Davos and the salt fish and onions, which sounds like enough to keep anyone going. Question 5 had to do with Arya Stark in a plot at Harrenhal, which involved Jack and Hagar and a vat of very hot soup. And the name given to the soup was Weasel Soup.
Yes, the soup is named after Weasel, one of Arya Stark's many monikers. And here's where Shagwell the Demented Fool names it so. "Shagwell the Fool hacked the heads off 2 dead knights and pranced about the castle, swinging them by the hair and making them talk. What did you die of?" one head asked. "Hot weasel soup," replied the second. Yes, so there's Shagwell, as tasteless as ever, with the talking heads and the weasel soup commentary. And on to question 6 now. This one was about Dany living in the Great Pyramids of Meereen. And there's this kind of notable tree with edible fruit beside a pool. Like we said, it's a very idyllic scene. And we asked what the tree and the fruit were, and the answer is persimmon.
Yeah, we have a passage here where Dany actually sees someone from her past standing under that tree. A soft rustle made her open her eyes again. She sat up with a soft splash. "Missandei?" she called. "Eerie? Jeequi?" "They sleep," came the answer. A woman stood under the persimmon tree, clad in a hooded robe that brushed the grass. Beneath the hood, her face seemed hard and shiny. She's wearing a mask, Dany knew, a wooden mask finished in dark red lacquer. Quaithe? Am I dreaming? So, Dany seeing Quaithe again there under the persimmon tree. Now, question 7 had to do with a food that is often baked in pies, but it also is used as the name of a jailer on Dragonstone and as a disparaging nickname for Lord Wyman Manderly. And, of course, that food is lamprey.
Yes, Lord Lamprey. They call Lord Wyman sometimes, and these are a type of blood-sucking eel. And lamprey pie is a very traditional meal in days of old, and we have a fun fact from history here. King Henry I was said to have died of food poisoning in 1135, caused by his eating a surfeit of lampreys, of which he was excessively fond. So there's a real life Lord Lamprey right there. And so on to question 8. This was about the brothel that Arya and Gendry end up, where one of the hosts is called Bella. And we asked for the name of this in-stroke brothel because it was also an edible item. The answer is the peach.
Yeah, the peach. And in the appendix for A Storm of Swords, we find out that the peaches of the inn are, in fact, the girls themselves, explaining why it's named so. And with Bella looking rather like a Baratheon, it seems like perhaps Robert might enjoy peaches as much as his brother Renly did. Okay, now, question 9. Which major feast in the books had food described like this? The feast began with a thin leek soup, followed by a salad of green beans, onions, and beets, river pike poached in almond milk, mounds of mashed turnips that were cold before they reached the table, jellied calves' brains, and a leche of stringy beef. That was a list of food that just got worse and worse as it went along. And of course, the answer was the Red Wedding.
Yeah, this kind of inferior quality food stuff being served up was one of the initial clues that something was up at this wedding, that there was a plan up Walder's sleeves, perhaps. Here's a quote. It was poor fare to set before a king, and the calf's brains turned Catelyn's stomach. Yet Rob ate it uncomplaining, and her brother was too caught up with his bride to pay much attention. So yes, like we say, it's a clue that something was amiss there. And moving on to question number 10. This was about the wine that Aegon claims to have been swapped for as a baby. And the answer is Arbor Gold.
Yeah, a baby traded for a jug of wine. Here's a passage from A Dance of Dragons. That was not me, I told you. That was some tanner's son from Pisswater Bend whose mother died birthing him. His father sold him to Lord Varys for a jug of Arbor Gold. He had other sons, but had never tasted Arbor Gold. Varys gave the Pisswater boy to my lady mother and carried me away. And of course we'll point out that there is a possible connection that seems like it occurs more than once between Lies and Arbor Gold in the story, and this one is probably another good example of that connection. And now question 11 had to do with Joffrey's wedding to Margaery, which was really shaping up to be one of the more magnificent feasts in the story before things went horribly wrong for the bridegroom. Our question was, how many courses were involved in this wedding? And the answer was 77.
Yes, I've had some meals in my time, but 77 courses, I can't even imagine it. I think I'd like to try that one day. And I do have an excerpt. The first dish was a creamy soup of mushrooms and buttered snails served in gilded bowls. Tyrion had scarcely touched the breakfast, and the wine had already gone to his head, so the food was welcome. He finished quickly. One done, 76 to come. 77 dishes, while there are still starving children in this city and men who would kill for a radish. They might not love the Tyrells half so well if they could see us now. Yes, it does speak to excess there when there had been riots and so on because of lack of food previously. So that was the Purple Wedding, 77 courses. And on to question 12, a very short question. Sansa Stark is known for loving one food. Come on, tell us what it is. The answer is those lemon cakes.
Yeah, lemony lemon cakes. And here we have another passage from The Purple Wedding with some more food descriptions. Later came sweetbreads and pigeon pie and baked apples, fragrant with cinnamon, and lemon cakes frosted in sugar. But by then, Sansa was so stuffed that she could not manage more than two little lemon cakes, as much as she loved them. She was wondering whether she might attempt a third when the king began to shout. So Sansa, even as stuffed as she was, still managing to squeeze in a few lemon cakes. And now question 13 had to do with that cheap stew that's sold in the pot shops in Flea Bottom, has some rather questionable meat content, usually. What is it, the name that it is known by? The answer is Bowler Brown.
Yeah, Bowler Brown. You can have your 77 courses. Sometimes I just want a Bowler Brown. And here's a quote. In the bottom, there were pot shops along the alleys where huge tubs of stew had been simmering for years, and you could trade half your bird for a heel of yesterday's bread and a bowl of brown. And they'd even stick the other half in the fire and crisp it for you, so long as you plucked the feathers yourself. Arya would have given anything for a cup of milk and a lemon cake. But the brown wasn't so bad. It usually had barley in it, and chunks of carrot and onion and turnip, and sometimes even apple, with a film of grease swimming on top. Mostly she tried not to think about the meat. Okay, so bowl of brown. I didn't like the description of the film of grease swimming on the top. I think I would scoop that off, give it a miss. But anyway, on to question number 14. And this was about, guess right, which two foodstuffs traditionally invoke this tradition of guess right. And the answer is bread and salt.
Yeah, bread and salt are the foods that you would want to be served at someone's table to show that you've symbolically been given the protection of guess right. And we have a passage here, another one from A Storm of Swords. Here's Kat and Rob approaching the twins. Catelyn shifted in her seat uncomfortably. If we are offered refreshment when we arrive, on no account refuse. Take what is offered and eat and drink where all can see. If nothing is offered, ask for bread and cheese and a cup of wine. I'm more wet than hungry. Rob, listen to me. Once you have eaten of his bread and salt, you have the guest right, and the laws of hospitality protect you beneath his roof. So that has the sad and unfortunate ring of famous last words there. And moving on to question 15, it had to do with the description of a meal, and which region would you find this meal in? The kid had been roasted with lemon and honey. With it were grape leaves stuffed with a melange of raisins, onions, mushrooms, and fiery dragon peppers. And this one sounds really good. You would find this in Dorne.
Yes, I like the sound of that. I like hot food, so I would do well down in Dorne, I think. And I think the clue there was the fiery dragon peppers at the end. You know, that fiery pepper that brings to mind Dorne. And here's a quote. In the Reach, men said it was the food that made Dornish men so hot-tempered and their women so wild and wanton. Fiery peppers and strange spices heat the blood. So, on second thoughts, I might stay away from these Dornish meals. Anyway, on to question number 16. This one was about the singer's stew and which singer went into this singer's stew that was facilitated by Bronn at the behest of Tyrion. And the answer is the one and only Simon Silvertongue.
Yeah, that's right. Simon Silvertongue, who had the misfortune to write a clever little ditty about Tyrion and his woman Shay, and certainly live to regret it. Now, our final question had to do with another description of foods, and we were looking for a name of the event where the following food was served. The guests gorged on cod cakes and winter squash, hills of neeps, and great round wheels of cheese, on smoking slabs of mutton and beef ribs charred almost black, and lastly, on three great wedding pies, as wide across as wagon wheels, their flaky crust stuffed to bursting with carrots, onions, turnips, parsnips, mushrooms, and chunks of seasoned pork swimming in a savory brown gravy. And of course, that delicious collection of food was served at Ramsay and fake Arya Stark's wedding at Winterfell in A Dance with Dragons. And those three great wedding pies are what are commonly known as Frey pies in the fandom, which are thought to contain the remnants of Jared, Symond, and Rhaegar Frey.
Okay, so some more forced unknowing cannibalism there. What do you think, Lady Gwyn?
Well, only two questions about cannibalism in a food quiz, so I think that's not too bad for A Song of Ice and Fire.
Well, that's pretty good going. So we really hope that you enjoyed it. I thought that the theme was quite a fun one, so I hope that came across well. And we do love it when you guys, you know, communicate to us, send us your scores, tell us how you've done. We're on all the social media. We've got Facebook, we're on Twitter. We might even post this on Reddit, but wherever you can find us, let us know your score. Oh, YouTube, of course. We've got a lot of learned YouTube watchers who enjoy these quizzes, I know. So yeah, give us your scores, and we will be back soon with another serious episode. These bonus quizzes are just kind of to pass the time while we're busy working away on the more serious content. So we hope you had fun. Cheers.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.